email last night that I issued this morning, and I replied, I do not take any credit for that. After spitballing it for 20 minutes or so, we had come down to something modern and expensive having to do with diodes and televisions. And with that set of clues, I began thinking, could it be OLEDs? And I kind of threw it out there. You know, just threw it out there. It wasn't like I said, oh, of course. No. I just said, could it maybe possibly be OLED? So I really can't take any credit for solving the puzzle, as it were.
Yeah, no, I understand. I spoke to Lloyd earlier, and he basically told me what was going on, regarding the puzzle. So I knew the answer, but I didn't want to say anything. But, okay, with any diode, especially a solid-state diode, you have to have some kind of PN junction, I believe, right? So the question is, because I got to look this up, the carbon that's used in manufacturing this particular diode, is that the P-type material or the N-type material? And if, and whatever it is, where's the other material? Because you have to have majority carriers and minority carriers for that junction to work, right? You agree?
In order, yes. Diodes require a P-piece material and an N-piece material for a P-N junction. Although I believe pin diodes are a one-off exception. P intrinsic N, that there's a little band of undoped material in the middle of the junction. As far as what the carbon does in an OLED diode, I will be very simple. I'll be very simple about this. I have told you everything I know about the subject.
Which means more research is required. Yeah, I use pin diodes, positive, intrinsic, negative. They're good as switching diodes in radio frequency applications, as you know. So, and they're very popular, and they can handle, depending on which diode, they can handle quite a bit of power. They're using more and more instead of relays. A Schottky diode is different. Schottky uses a semiconductor material for one junction and a metal, I'm not sure what kind of metal it is, for the other junction, and it's a lot faster. The speed of a Schottky is and the recovery time is a lot faster than a PN junction, from my understanding. What little I know about physics. All right, back to you.
I agree with everything you say, but I'm really not much of an expert on. Yeah, I studied the basic generic diodes, the PN junctions, but the other stuff I've really never studied, and I tell you the truth, I've never really had a tremendous urge to dive into it, so I have remained ignorant. Meanwhile, I just arrived home.
WB2IKT back. All right, see you later. Have a good time, and talk to you again. What else can I say? WHCDM.
Welcome back, George, but I arrived at home.
Okay, 73, Ed, have a good one. And, okay, on Tuesday, I'm sure you'll let us know if some soul wants to try their luck at passing the test. Anyway, Andy, good evening to you. How are you? WB2IKT.
Let me make this official. I'll be B2EAV class.
Okay, yeah, 73. Hi, George. What test is this? Is this a VE exam that you're giving for a license?
Yes, Andy, it is a VE test for license. You're the W5YI organization. Ed, myself, and a few other regulars kind of do this over at the Town of Oyster Bay Ice Skating Rink in Bethpage. And it's a first Tuesday of the month kind of deal. And I'm sorry, I think it's the second, anyway, second Tuesday of the month. But in any event, Ed coordinates it, and he gets people to come. And usually have a few that we give. And, you know, so just don't show up if nobody signs up in advance.
All right. That sounds good. Yeah, it's always good to get a new ham on board. Keep the things moving forward. You know, because even I've observed, you know, you don't see that many kids or young people getting involved in the hobby. Even though they are, but I don't see them, you know. So I think most of the younger people are into networking, computers, maybe making things like robotics and stuff like that. All right, I'm just on my way home from work, and you know, I work at Bell Labs out in New Jersey, so I'm I take the train, and it's about a 3-hour ride.
I was thinking that's a long way to go to work, but on the other hand, working at Bell Labs has to be a sort of a very prestigious type of job. And, I'm amazed that you landed such a thing, because the credentials that one needs to get in that place are aren't defined.
Well, yes and no. My job is a different type of job. We, I'll tell you when I see you. You know, give you the details of, you know, why I work there. But it's different, so. But it's still interesting, it's still fun, and challenging, and everything else. So, that's where the office is. I could say the office is at Bell Labs, which actually it's not even, well, it used to be Bell Labs, it's Nokia now. So that's what I'm contracted out to, Nokia.
Okay, well, very good. That's, still, it's just that, is that 3 hours each way, or is it 90 minutes one way and then 90 minutes for the return? Something tells me it's one way, and I would consider that to be a dreadful commute.
I take the 656 train from where I live, and I get into the office around 9:45. So how long is that? 6 or 7? Yeah, about 9:45, something like that.
Yeah, that's sound appealing, put it that way. All right, well, I guess good luck with that. Actually, I'm just in the process of trying to look up some biographies of some folks. I just finished one by Thomas Edison, which was fascinating. And I had no idea that Thomas Edison was as involved with Morse code as he was. Apparently, he was well known as a Morse code speed demon, and I'd be willing to bet that had he lived 50 years later, he would have had a ham license. But having read that, I'm now looking for some other biographies to look at, and it occurs to me that Mr. Musk, who is the closest thing that we have to Edison today, somebody that I'd like to read about. Then the other guy is somebody that only a handful of engineers seem to know, and the guy's name is called Claude Shannon, who was instrumental in developing communications theory. And he actually worked at Bell Labs and published some extremely, extremely important documents on the mathematical theories of communications. And probably somebody you'd like to know about.
I know all about it. I work there. When you walk into the main lobby in the front of the building, you see his statue with his paper in his hand, crumpled up, and the formula that he came up with in regard to the information technology work that he did. So, and I read about him. I have books on him, so I know, amongst others, as you know. So, it's nothing new.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. One of those folks that probably ought to be much more well-known considering the stuff he did. Okay, anyway, let me go back. I've got to look at these things. Barnes & Noble has a couple of biographies about him. The trouble is that none of the Barnes & Nobles in the New York metropolitan area, at least according to the website, have those books in stock. So apparently I'm going to be doing some mail ordering pretty soon, because I do want to read about him. In any event, I'm going to sign. I've got some other stuff I've got to get done, but it's good talking to you. And I'm glad to hear that you're gainfully employed in such an excellent institution. That sounds pretty cool. Anyway, let me say 73, and we'll talk to you later. WHSCDL, WB2IKJ.
Yeah, if I was only 30 years younger, my brain would be sharp. All right, I'll tell you more about Claude and where you could look up more information about him, because I got some stuff on that. See you later. I'm going to sign. Have a good day. WHCDO, almost home.
Yeah, 73. WB2IKT is clear.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is
W2OSR Mobile.
All right, well, that's good. They'll keep in correspondence with him, or does he live nearby? I didn't get that last transmission, Dave.
KA2YHY N2APG.
N2APG, KA2YHY. I missed your previous transmission.
Okay, that's because your radio switched over to VHF, and you're now on the 2-meter repeater. Before we were on the UHF repeater.
Ah, yeah, I had it on scan. Okay, I'll go back over there. KA2YHY, QSY.
2APG, QSY.
November 2, Lima, India, Golf. Hello, test. Testing 1234. Hello, testing radio 1234. Hello, test. November 2, Lima, India, Golf, clear.
KC2NKL, listening.
K2KND.
K2KND, KC2NKL. How you doing? Name is Bernard.
Good morning, Bernard. Good morning. Wow, that was pretty bad. Good evening. Name is Richie, and call for those who may have spoken before. My call is K2KND.
Richie, I take you as an antenna guy. Aren't you an antenna guy? I think so, right?
No. Not any particular reference that I can think of. Trying to think who Richie the antenna guy would be.
Actually, I was just fishing and hoping. I have a question that I don't know. I have not looked up the answer, but I figured I'd ask it.
Well, you can try me, and usually what happens is somebody else is listening, so if I don't have the answer, somebody else might.
Yeah, I have a funny story, and then I'll ask the question. The funny story is, and please, no real heart chuckling at me.
I threw up an NFED antenna yesterday. Got it up into a tree from the top of my house on a mount, up, and then came back toward the house. And unfortunately, because the length of the wire was longer than my yard, I brought it back toward my house again. Used a satellite antenna frame to kind of wrap around, not like loop it, but just use it as a bar before I tied it off to the original mount, making a nice horizontal V in the air. And everything was fine. Radio tested okay, except for on 80 meters, I was getting a little hot. As that was probably because the metal was touching the wire on the satellite mount. But the funny thing was it started messing around with the electronics of my house, and to make a very long story short, made my water on my hand-detecting water faucet in the kitchen go on and off, and my refrigerator go nuts. So now I know I need to change that and not have it go anywhere near that old satellite antenna mount. But I'm wondering what the angle of attack on a horizontal plane, how close is too close for that angle to be if I was doing a horizontal V? Does it have to be like 45 degrees? Does it have to be more like 60 or 70 degrees? Does it have to be a full 90 degrees? So I was just looking for some advice.
I'm not sure that I have an answer for you, but you're saying you have a horizontal V, and how wide should the angle be? But obviously you had to keep it away from metal. Usually it could couple, I think, with almost anything within a quarter wave of what you're doing. And so that certainly would have some influence on that. But is that the question? If you're doing, what you have is a dipole in a V, in a horizontal V. Would that be a correct way of describing it?
Yeah, imagine it, instead of it being a dipole with, you know, two wire arms, it's one long end-fed antenna, but because of the length, the antenna is going to form a V. And it is that horizontal, like you were mentioning and I was talking about. The question is, between the first run of the wire around the tree to the second run, I need to know what the minimum angle is going to be between those two wires, so I can make sure that that's not going to cause a problem.
Okay, I don't have an exact answer for you. I'm going to assume, though, that you probably have to be about 120 degrees. But don't think a right angle. It's possible. If you were doing an inverted V, you want to be at a 60-degree slope, something in that area. Doing it horizontal, that would make, I believe, 120 in the inside. But it's something like that, because otherwise you have the two wires interfering with one another.
Yeah, that is what I was afraid of. When I thought I did it the first time, I thought I had it at a wide enough, at least, angle to make it work. It might not be great, but the only place to put it was to put it on that mount, which is metal, which I got to get rid of. So if I tie it, you know, using the rope at the end insulator, if I bring it to another place where I can tie it off to, that's where I'm going to get that angle where it's going to be probably 40 to 50% or 40 to 50 degrees, and I think that's going to be a real big problem. So I am pretty much screwed, and I have to figure something out.
Casey Candy, as I'm thinking about it, obviously 90 degrees is okay because you can run an inverted L. You know, that would be no problem. And again, maybe the guideline is exactly what would be with an inverted V. I guess that would be pretty similar. As you got closer to the vortex, you make sure there's enough separation so that you're not getting interference there. Again, that would be my guess. But I don't know. I guess by trial and error. I think it might be 60, maybe 60, even 70. Does that work for you, or does 90 work for you? You don't have enough room for that.
Yeah, Richie, the problem is my property. I used to have really tall trees, you know, 80, 90 feet, where I can run a wire up to that 80, 90 foot mark and then go at almost an L angle to another set of trees. But I had to take that big tall tree down because it was becoming unstable in the storms, and I didn't want it crashing on my house or anybody else's house. So now I'm without that major tree, and it totally changes the wire hanging scenario. I went ahead and ordered a new antenna, a vertical antenna, one of the Titan DX antennas. So I'm hoping that will just suffice on a roof mount. But for the meantime, I don't know how long it's going to take for that thing to come in there. I'm trying to figure out a way to solve my problem and get on the air. If it wasn't for the fact that it looked like my house was haunted when I had it in this current configuration, it would be fine for the short term, as long as no one came into my house with a pacemaker. But, you know, I got to fix it either which way. I have to wait for a sunny day, or at least a non-rainy day. But I have some other ideas, but I definitely can't get it 90 degrees. I just don't have the space, and it's really kind of bumming me out. Anyway, back to you, KC2, NKL for ID.
And this is KCK, and I just kind of watched, I'm just looking at time. I have a net to sign into in about 10 minutes. I had a Gap Titan, and I'll probably go back to the Gap Titan, but what you're getting is a good antenna. I believe they're well out of stock on a lot of the stuff. So like you said, you don't know when you'll get it. And the only reason why I hesitated getting either the one that you're getting or the Eagle was because I think none of them covers 30 meters. I think some of them don't cover the walk band. I forget, but I wanted that, and I think Cap Titan is the only one that covers that. You know, as far as your wire goes, you don't have to be necessarily in a nail. If you have a starting point to even a smaller point to raise it, and then even if you're going up at an angle tree that's further away, that would probably work. If you feel like experimenting, try your gutters. See whether your gutters will resonate. People do that. How long is the wire in total that you're trying to run?
Let me double check that. I can't remember if it was. Actually, I'm looking it up online right now, so bear with me for a second. The length of the wire is 130 feet total.
And that's the way it was bought, just as a long random wire with any kind of an unknown at the end of it?
Yeah, I ordered it from myantennas.com. It's an EFHW 8010 2K Plus. It is a single length of wire. It does have an insulator at the end. The problem is that the wire is just too long for the property line. So I went into my neighbor's tree with their permission, but even going into the neighbor's tree and coming back, I still had about 15 feet of wire to come back toward some other structure or some other way to tie it off before I got to the standard rope that I'm using to tie it off with. So it's just a little too long. I mean, I could cut it and just forget about 80 meters, but with an NFED, now all your voltage and all your power is at the end of the line, and I just keep cutting it and just dropping 80 would be, I'd probably screw it up, because for some reason I used to be technical, and now I'm like measure 10 times, cut, you know, twice, go back to Home Depot, rebuy the materials, and try again.
Yeah, well, your biggest problem, you're saying, is the turn that you have to make to keep it within your property line. I've sort of running horizontal long wire here, but I have electric on both, on two sides, and they're right at my property line along the side and along the back, so it kind of eliminates any. I don't know, maybe there's a point that you can start in front of the house, somehow another go in the back. 107 feet, I think, with that. I would have problem doing that also. But I think you can also go in another direction if necessary. You know, if you have to turn the last 15 feet outward or inward, I don't know that would make a big difference at some angle if you have something to hang it by. KQKNB.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could actually just let it drop. Instead of bringing it back, I could just drop it and tie it off, you know, on the tree. But my fear is because it's my neighbor's yard. If I'm transmitting and something gets close to that wire, you know, again, if it was my property, it wouldn't be because I would know not to let my kids climb the tree. But since it's my neighbor's, I can't even take that risk.
Well, that is a problem, and just a reminder that at this point, whatever antenna you put up, you're supposed to put together a radiation control sheet. You can download it on the ARRL website. That's actually to figure out how much radiation you're actually putting out. But if there's any chance of your neighbor being within, you know, if your neighbor's you're not going to be within 20 feet of it, then you need to do a chart to see. But if it's going to be closer than that, you don't have to worry about a chart. You just really can't.
Yeah, I think the answer is going to be just, you know, get rid of the wire antenna and just wait for the DX Titan to come in and then roof mount it, and then I solve all my problems. Anyway, I hear my microwave timer going off. I made dinner for the family, so I should go in there and take it out. I appreciate the conversation, Richie. Always a pleasure. I appreciate your time, and I will make this my last and just wish you a great night. And 73 to you, sir.
Hi, Bernard. You know, again, as I said, usually people jump in to give you their opinions. It might be a good question for the TechNet on Sunday night. Everybody's welcome to throw their questions out there. All right, enjoy your microwave dinner. I'm the king of microwave cooking. I love it, but done a couple of steaks there that I wasn't too proud of. Anyway, they were hot, but not lack character. Have a good night, KTKND.
I can't leave it at that. The microwave is just the timer. I don't dare cook real dinners in microwaves. I was using a Dutch oven. Anyway, talk to you later. 73 KC2NKL. I'll be clear.
KC2FYJ with a radio check.
Radio is working, Harry.
Thank you, Richie. KC2FYJ clear.
My Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
Hello, Charlie 2, Foxtrot, Yankee 2, left.
W2.
Kilo 2, Juliet Bravo, Charlie, good evening.
Session of the Limark InfoNet. Before we start the net, we'll pause for anyone with emergency or priority traffic. Nothing heard. The Limark InfoNet meets every week, every Monday at this time on the Limark repeaters. And we take check-ins in specific orders. Please wait for your group before you check in. And if you have priority or emergency traffic during the net, you may break the net using the word emergency to be recognized. The first category of check-ins is Limark officers and other board members.
Kilo 2, Kilo November Bravo with traffic.
Also with traffic.
WB2AW6. WB2QDS, I think I doubled.
Roger, Glenn, there was a double. Got you now, but I missed the other one, whoever it was. Roger, K2KNB with traffic, WB2ZEX with traffic, WB2KWC. Any additional board members? Nothing heard. Next category of check-ins is Limark Committee Chairs. Just call now.
A2TGW.
NY2H. W2MIT.
KC2.
Roger, K2TGW, NY2H, W2MIT, and KC2ZVT. Any additional committee chairs? Nothing heard. Next category of check-ins is call signs beginning with W. Please call now.
WS2N.
Roger, WS2N. Any additional W's? This is N2RQ in the control. I wonder if this is a holiday I'm not aware of. next category is call signs beginning with K. Please take it slow.
KD2QEX.
KD2UAH.
AB2OIE. Zero GIO.
KG2RY, good evening.
KD2YMU.
KD2KNH.
See if I got these. Roger, KD2QEX, KD2UAH, AB2OIE, 80 GIO, KG2RY. I wrote an I. KD2YMU and AD2KNH. Better read my own handwriting. Any additional Ks?
AD2UDU.
Kilo Bravo 2H.
KD2FIU.
Roger, KD2UDU. AB2HHU and KD2FIU. This is N2RQ, net control. Next category is call signs beginning with N. Please call now.
ZUC.
N2IEE.
Roger, N2ZUC and NY2A. And then there was a double. I think the first one was N2ICD, but it's covered up. N's separate, try again.
N2ICD.
Roger, N2ICD. I thought there was another station there, but I'll pause. This is N2RQ. Okay, moving on. Next category is call signs beginning with A. Let's call now. Any call sign beginning with A? Nothing heard. Next category is anyone on IRLP. Any call sign group on IRLP? Nothing heard. Next category is anyone, any call sign group on Echolink. Anyone on Echolink? I think this is the shortest roster I've seen on one of these nets in a very long time. First station with traffic is our president, K2KNB. Richie, go ahead.
Hi, thank you, Lou, and this is Richie, K2KNB. Good evening to all. I want to run down a few of the things that will be happening in the month of May. First, beginning with the board meeting, which will be this Wednesday, and will still be Zoom. So, as a Zoom meeting, we'll start at 7, and this particular meeting, we're going to make sure to try to end before 8 o'clock. There's a webinar, and if you're an ARRL member, you probably got a notice, or if you signed up as a member, it's only. Anyway, it's a webinar on grants, The ARRL has been given some $500,000 for grants, and it's up to clubs to, if they're interested, to write requests. And there are things that Limewalk, you know, would certainly like to be able to do, but would also like perhaps some of your input. Now, this first webinar is only on what the grants are all about, and somewhere in the next couple of weeks, you actually have to make the applications. But if anyone has any thoughts about what we could do equipment, you know, this would mostly be equipment-wise or program-wise. What kind of a program could we underwrite that would encourage ham radio, encourage mobile communications, encourage public service, whatever? If you have any ideas, I think send them to limewalk@limewalk.org. Send them directly to the board so that all the board members can look at them and kind of piece it together. Let me let it drop. Now, again, if you want to attend the webinar, I know it's somewhat limited. You know, if it's not your thing, that's fine. It's just a preliminary thing, but, again, I'd like all the board members to participate and some of the other people that have experiences writing grants. But if you have any ideas, anything, again, that you think might be a worthwhile project, send your ideas to limewalk@limewalk.org, and we'll take a look at them and maybe be able to actually incorporate them into a grant program. Okay, the general meeting on May 11th, that'll be a completion of Ed Gellender, WB2 EAV, his presentation on how receivers work. And in this presentation, it will be on the VHF and UHF receivers. And again, that will be a hybrid meeting, both Zoom and with in person. But we'd really like to get you down there in person. We did pretty well last month. I think we had maybe close to 30 people there. And you know, of course, there's refreshments. But it's the idea of being with each other. It's important. It's important to the club. It's important to what we're all about. So that'll be on May 11th, and we'd really love to see you coming down there. By the way, I mentioned that the June board meeting, we will actually go back into person, interpersonal meetings at the Levittown Library, as it is open, and it was actually open for May, but they sent me the notice so late that we really couldn't do anything about it. But back in June, we'll be back there in the library. There will be a VS session on May 11th, and that's an early bird special, 8 a.m., and we have to be out of there by 9:30, so you might mark that down if you're interested in any testing. Don't forget, and again, let me stop.
Wrong day, Richie.
Which day is the wrong day, Lou?
The general meeting is on 5/11. The VE session is not on 5/11.
I thought I wrote 14. The VE session is on May 14th. All right, if I made it. So again, just to repeat, general meeting is the second Wednesday of the month, which will be May 11th, and the VE session will be that Saturday, May 14th, and that will be at 8 a.m. to 9:30. And don't forget that the technician pool for your friends or relatives, anyone that's studying, this technician pool expires on June 30th. So if you're interested, email education@limewalk.org or join our education group, which is limewalk-ed@groups.io, and so we can help you with questions and maybe even put together some sessions, some study sessions via Zoom for you. On May 20th, we'll be at the Cradle of Aviation, and that will be in celebration of the Lindbergh flight, which would be the 95th anniversary of Charles Lindbergh flying across the Atlantic. And we'll have at least two stations going. We love to have operators. We go from about 9 o'clock till a little before 4 o'clock. Unfortunately, the bands don't always work particularly well for us, but in terms of time. But we make a fair amount of contacts. I think our best was maybe 100 contacts in one day. But again, you have an opportunity to run a digital station, an opportunity to run a sideband station. All people participating are allowed into the museum to travel through the museum. It's a great museum if you like airplanes and the whole history of the aerospace industry on Long Island. So that's May 20th. Let me know if you're interested in coming down. Email me, htkmb@limewalk.org. on the 21st, I have to actually double check my dates there. Yeah, that would be a Saturday. That just says with Friday and Saturday. Okay. So on Saturday the 21st, there's a celebration of 75 years of Levittown history. And that was when, I guess Bill Levitt was his name, began the community, mostly for returning soldiers to be able to move out into the suburbs, and that eventually became known as Levittown. So the 75th anniversary, and they will be having a celebration at the Veterans Community Park, which is right across the street from the library. And there's a good possibility that we'll go there, set up a special event station, and just be there for good public relations. So again, if you're interested, let me know. Email kckmb@limark.org. And that was a good pause as I sneezed. And a final reminder, June 5th, Limark Hamfest Outdoor at 1055 Stewart Avenue, the former home of Briarcliff College. Limark members get in at no charge. We do charge nominally for the spaces. That's our fundraiser. Good opportunity to clean out the basements, get rid of the stuff that you've been waiting to get rid of. And that's it. Vendors at 7 a.m. and the buyers will start letting in at 8:45. That is everything. Back to Ned. Have a great week, guys. KTKNB, back to Lou.
Hey, thank you, Richie. Give me a workout. This is N2RQ. Next station with traffic is Jerry, WB2ZEX. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. This is WB2ZEX. First, all 2022 or beyond Limark members should have received their e-log yesterday. If you didn't receive it, send me an email at WB2ZEX@limark.org, and we'll verify that your email address is correct and figure out why you didn't receive it. Also, you know, we get one new member a week, it seems. So this week's new member is Donald Fisher, N2 Quebec Henry Victor, N2 QHV in Southold, New York. Back to Ned.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Completes the listed traffic. Anyone want to check in that hasn't checked in already, or anyone with traffic, please hold. It ends to work you.
K2EPP checking in, negative, sorry for the late check in.
KC2FYJ late check in, good evening, Lou.
And WHCDL late check in, too.
W2DF. WA2K exit.
Okay, let's see if I got them right. Roger, K2EPP, KC2FY, WA2CDL, W2DSX, WA2KXE. And I realize I didn't ask for late check-ins before we took the traffic, so I apologize for that. Any additional check-ins?
W2KFE mobile.
KC1SAM.
I missed the last station. Try again.
KD2NFJ.
I hope I got it right that time. Roger, W2KFV mobile. KC1SAM, KD2NSJ, is that right?
Correct. Good evening.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think that covers traffic and the check-ins. I'll try and do a quick review. I didn't get everything. This Wednesday we have 7 p.m. on Zoom, Limark board meeting, and we're going to try and finish that meeting early so that we can get into a webinar concerning the new IRRL grant program, and looking forward to that. On May 11th, next week, the general meeting will still be hybrid. Ed, WB2EAV, will be presenting part two of his receiver presentation. This one will be on VHF, UHF. Then on Saturday, the 14th, an early VE session at 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Anyone looking to prep for an exam, welcome to join the Limark hyphen edu at groups.io. Not only for the technician, the pool is expiring at the end of June, but for any class of license is welcome. On May 20th, that's a Friday, we'll be setting up a station or two at the Cradle of Aviation Museum for the 95th anniversary of the Lindbergh solo transatlantic crossing. We'll be operating from approximately 9 a.m. to almost 4 p.m. Anyone interested in operating or helping to set up, etc., should contact Richie at k2knb@limark.org. And then on Saturday, the 21st of May, is an event at the Veterans Park opposite the library in Levittown, commemorating 75 years of since the beginning of Levittown, I guess. There may be some operating involved there. So any question on that, contact Richie, K2KNB, at limark.org. On June 5th will be the Limark Hamfest outdoor at the former, I'm not even going to try and do the address because I didn't write it down. From Richie didn't mention it, but this is probably going to be the last time that we'll be at that location. Members may attend free of charge, and if you want to set up a table, there's a fee for that. Jerry WB2ZEX reported that the May e-log went out, and you should have received it already. And if you didn't, contact Jerry at wb2zex@limark.org. Welcome to a new member, N2QHV. I think that covers everything I have. Did I miss anything? Any other comment? This is N2RQ. Okay. The InfoNet is followed by the Swap and Shop, which is then followed by Amateur Radio Newsline. So at this point, I will close the net and turn it over to George, KC2FYJ. See you all next week. This is in 2RQ. George, pick it up.
Thank you, Lou, and good evening, everyone. Harry, stand back. Welcome to the Limark Swap and Shop. This is George, KD2FYU, your net control. If at any time during the net you have emergency traffic for the net, you can break in using the word emergency, and the net will be turned over to you to pass the emergency traffic. This net meets every Monday night following the Limark Info Net. And the purpose of the net is to buy, to sell, or to trade ham radio equipment or related electronic equipment. This is a directed net, so all communication is to go through net control. If you have an item for listing or an item that you want, please indicate with traffic while checking in, and we'll come back to you after taking further check-ins. Try to give a price and give your contact information. This net is open to check-in so that we can take any further listings, want ads, or clarification of traffic. Would anybody like to check in?
KB2NTD, the want.
KC2FYJ standing by. Just checking in to support.
KD2UAH supporting.
KB2OIE supporting.
W2OSR, just listening.
WA2KXC.
WB2QDS, reporting.
Okay, we have KD2NCD with traffic. KC2FYJ, KD2UAH, KB2OIE, W2OSR, WA2KXE, and WB2QEX. And there was somebody that was in there on a double. Please come back.
Whiskey Baker 2, Quebec Delta Sierra. K0GIO, supporting.
Correction, George AB 2, plus 4.
Max, the correction. Kilo Bravo, Kilo Delta. I thought I said Kilo Bravo.
Yeah, Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Delta.
Okay, we got it. Very good. And we got WB2QDS and K0GIO. Did I miss anyone on the check-ins?
KD2UDU supporting.
This is KD2FIU at the Limark Swap and Shop, and we need some listings tonight. Does anybody else wish to check in?
KD2UDU supporting.
Okay, gotcha, Wayne. KD2UDU. Okay, we'll go through the want ad over here. I will come up with a couple of items. KB2NCD, Max, take it away. You have a want ad.
NCD, November Tango, not NC. Copy. Yeah, this is KB2NCD. I still have a want for rotator cable, 6 or 8 conductor. I'm looking for up to 100 feet. Last week, Bob W2OSR came back and said he thinks he has some. I did reach out, but I didn't hear from him. But anybody has 8-6 conductor rotor cable, I can NTV at ARRL.net.
Okay, Max has a want ad for 6 or 8 conductor rotator cable up to 100 feet, and the want ad. You can reach Max at KB2, November, Tango, Delta, at ARRL.net. That's KB2NTD at ARRL.net. This is KD2FIU with the Limark Swap and Shop. Does anybody have anything? Okay, I still have here off-center fed dipole that's 66 feet long. It covers 40, 20, 10, and 6 meters. It handles 300 watts. It sells at HRO for $90. The asking price is $40, and it's still brand new in the bag. That's an off-center fed 66-foot dipole, handles 300 watts, and the bands are 40, 20, 10, and 6 meters, asking $40. Still brand new in the bag. I also still have two giveaways over here. The Yaesu phone patch, the landliner model, that's a giveaway, and a Cobra 41 Plus 40-channel CB radio with weather channels. Those last two items, the phone patch, the Yaesu landliner, and the Cobra, are giveaways. You can contact me, Radio Fever, at att.net. This is George, KD2FIU. Contact me, Radio Fever, at att.net. This is KD2FIU with the Limark Swap and Shop. Does anybody have anything else? Okay, I would like to thank KB2NTD, KC2FYJ, KD2UAH, KB2OIE, KB2QDS, W2OSR, WA2KXE, WB2QEX, K0GIO, and KD2UDU for joining us tonight. This net will be followed by Radio Newsline, and thanks to everyone for listening. This is KD2FIU closing the net at 2103. 73.
connected
to the Newsline server. This week's Newsline report will begin in 10 seconds and pause periodically.
Amateur radio Newsline report number 2321 with a release date of Friday, April 22nd, 2022, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio's solo crossing of the Pacific. Amateur radio gatherings prepare in Germany, Australia, and Dayton, Ohio. And special event stations mark a moon landing anniversary. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2321 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Shelbyville, Tennessee, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
We begin this week's report with a story of ham radio and high adventure on the open seas. Japan's most well-known yachtsman, an octogenarian adventurer, is hoping to become the oldest person to cross the Pacific Ocean alone. With a radio, of course. Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, catches us up on his journey.
In 1962, Kenichi Horii became the first man to cross the Pacific Ocean alone, non-stop. He was 23 when he ended his journey from Japan 94 days later, docking his yacht in the U.S. city of San Francisco. Now at the age of 83, the seasoned sailor is on his way and ahead of schedule to becoming the oldest person to cross that ocean again. 60 years later, he is making the trip in reverse. He left San Francisco on March 26 on a yacht measuring 19 feet or 5.8 meters, stocked with food, water, a satellite phone, and his preferred method of communication, an amateur radio. Although no call sign was listed for him on QRZ.com, Southgate Amateur Radio News reported it as JR3JE. According to a report in the Asahi Shimbun, the prospect of a contact with him had amateurs back home in Japan adding extra large antennas in the hope of scoring some big DX. According to news reports, propagation has been something of a challenge for most. There's still time for a QSO, however. Kenichi was spotted near Hawaii on April 17th, and he doesn't expect to arrive home until early June. Track his progress on a map you'll find on his website. The address appears in the text version of this week's newscast script at arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
The next best thing to talking on radio is to talk about radio. And that's how one group of hams marked World Amateur Radio Day. Jim Dameron, NATMW, has that report.
A celebration of all things wireless, from Marconi and Tesla to modern times, graced the screens of viewers on YouTube and Facebook as the Tesla Science Center on Long Island, New York, marked World Amateur Radio Day Monday, April 18th. For nearly an hour and a half, three active, prominent amateurs on different life paths shared their personal experiences and their hopes for radio's future with viewers and program host Mark Alessi, the center's executive director. Ed Wilson, N2XDD, vice president of the Suffolk County Radio Club. Ted Rappaport, N9NB, developer of 5G wireless communications. And Major League Baseball legend Joe Rudy, NK7U, described why they prized radio for its emergency capabilities, its role as a spark for experimentation, and for the environment it creates to educate the next generation. The Tesla Science Center is named for inventor Nikola Tesla, whose lab was once located there. The center has been giving special priority to promoting the vast, still untapped potential of radio. Ed told Newsline that he is helping jumpstart an amateur radio group based at the center with a focus on attracting younger operators. Beyond the hams' personal stories of rescue by radio and their hopes for future projects, they shared their enthusiasm for getting more people on the air. When Mark Alessi noted he is not presently a ham, Ed quickly jumped in to say, "Not yet, Mark. Not yet." To view the recorded program on YouTube, use the link that appears in this week's text version of the newscast on our website, arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, NAPNW.
In Ohio next month, there will be more to Hamvention Weekend than just Hamvention. Neil Rapp, WB9BBG, tells us about